Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are you ready for a murder mystery today on Advanced? Hello, listeners. Welcome to today's Advanced program. I'm Linda, your host, and today is April 24th, 2026. We are covering our People article today. It is entitled Case Solved. It's a very exciting article, and I'm so glad to have Rhonda here to explore it with me. Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, Linda. You and I together. This is great because this article is about women working together and solving something. I think it's great that we're together.
I do too. Yes. We haven't solved any cases together per se, but I see it in our future. Yeah.
I see it in our future. We could get out there and solve some crimes, but we do solve problems together here in the office. If there's something wrong with the magazine or something that needs fixing, we're always solving things, right?
We do. We come up with solutions to
That's
our problems.
Right.
Yes. And you are a great idea generator, Rhonda.
Okay. Well, thank you for that, an idea generator. You know, I was just thinking about English. Isn't it interesting that solve, S-O-L-V-E, and solution, S-O-L-U, are in the same word family? Mm-hmm. Why does English do that?
Yeah, that's one of the the great things about English, the inconsistency.
Yes, interesting.
Because it pulls from so many different languages.
Yes, that U changes to a V.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
on we go.
We just have to know that. That is the conjugation of solve. So today we're talking about, like Rhonda mentioned, women, four women in particular, who solve a murder mystery. And nowadays, true crime is so popular. There are so many shows, podcasts, covers the news line, the news headlines, you know, all these like headlines of crime and stories of crime. But people are so fascinated with it. Why do you think that is, Rhonda?
Really good question and an interesting phrase, true crime. It's not necessarily, we don't say false crime, we might say
fiction versus nonfiction.
Yeah. So this phrase, true crime, if I say, if someone says, I love true crime, that doesn't mean they like people getting killed. They like the genre.
Yes.
Actually, my daughter wrote two true crime books about female criminals.
Really?
So this has been on my mind a lot. Why do people like it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say we know that there's a very dark side to human nature. And I think reading about terrible things people do, it's not that you want it to happen, but there's a why that we have or how. It's a, I hate to say fascination, but with how humanity,
how is the brain works, or like how how humans, like how can they be this way? Like
how can they be this way? How can they be this way? My daughter's thesis in her books is kind of people who do terrible things, are they still human? Like what's the humanity? And is there a way in which we can sympathize even though something horrible has been done? So that idea of, wait, could I be that bad? Is always, I think, intriguing to us. Like, this person seems like they're so unhuman, but what's the humanity in them? So it gets pretty deep.
Yeah. I mean, it does make you wonder, like, what could drive someone to do this? And that is what is intriguing. You want to find out the why behind it. And some people are just fascinated by the crime itself.
Right.
Not to mean, like, they like seeing blood and guts, but some people actually do.
Some people do.
It's fascinating. Like the gruesomeness is fascinating. That's why people like watching horror movies, you know?
Yeah, I don't, but that would be an, sometime we'll have to talk about is that a cultural difference? Do Americans like that more? That's bringing up that question in my mind. Is it just Americans that like horror movies? Is it all around the world? Really? I wouldn't know that. Yeah.
Horror movies are made in many different
true.
Countries. Yeah, it's not the U.S. And sometimes, like, those horror movies made in other countries are super, super scary.
Super
scary. From Thailand and Japan. Really? They make some really, really scary movies.
Ooh.
But back to our true crime. Yes, so this genre is very, very popular. There's so many different series and podcasts on it. And I do like sometimes hearing about them. There was a podcast called Serial, and it was about this man who was imprisoned. He was accused and convicted of killing his girlfriend in high school. And it was just so gripping. Also, the way it was presented. So that makes a difference, too, how the story is presented. So our case today, the book that we're getting this from is called The Carpool Detectives. And I'll tell you the full description a little later, but let's hear our first reading now.
Case solved. These women investigated an old crime and surprised the professionals. The Carpool Detectives, a true crime mystery that reads like a novel, begins before the COVID-19 pandemic shut down the country and concludes on an upbeat note 2.5 years later. Four LA moms with no law enforcement training have solved an icy cold case and moved on to their next buoyed by newfound purpose. But as Chuck Hogan's book and conversations with the unlikely crime solvers today make clear, there were plenty of bumps along the way. From dead ends to a potential intruder at one of their homes mid-investigation. We went through phases where we felt like we hit a wall, says Marissa Pianco, a former forensic accountant. Pianco first learned about the stalled investigation into an older couple's death during a journalism class and became determined to get to the bottom of it, inviting three acquaintances to help solve the case. I think each one of us had a time by which we were like, okay, are we really continuing with this?
Okay, so we are introduced to one of the four women who are involved in this case, but these women investigate an old crime and surprise the professionals. That's our deck. So we know that there's a solution of a crime and it's going to be surprising. So as I mentioned before the reading, the name of the book that this is talking about is The Carpool Detectives. Can you tell us remind us what a carpool is, Rhonda?
A carpool is when people ride together to get to work mm-hmm. or to get to the same place rather than drive their own cars. Mm-hmm. This is an unusual, even humorous use of the word carpool. We might say the mothers carpooled to get their kids to the soccer game. In other words, one mom drove mm-hmm. and the others got in the car rather than everybody in their individual cars. Pooling is putting together resources.
Right.
But the carpool detectives, it's kind of a way of saying the regular women detectives. Like you think of a carpooling mom as sort of all moms drive around.
Right, exactly. Someone who would be driving in a carpool would be moms shuttling their kids, you mm-hmm. know, to wherever, school or soccer practice or whatever. So then to pair this up with detectives,
yes.
like you don't associate the two groups with one another, like moms, stay-at-home moms.
Ordinary.
Yeah, and detectives, investigators. Mm-hmm. But here we have that combination. And the full name of the book is The Carpool Detectives, a true story of four moms, two bodies, and one mysterious cold case. All right, so we already know about the four moms. And the case actually involves two people, a couple, an elderly couple that was killed. And we actually will get into the case tomorrow, so make sure you stick around for tomorrow's article. And this is a mysterious cold case, so it hasn't been solved, right? Cold case is a word we see in our first paragraph, right? So a cold case is a case that has not been solved, and it's not being currently investigated. And it could be due to not there not being any new leads or no one there to pursue the case. So for whatever reason, it's not being pursued and it's unsolved. And sometimes cold cases can be cold for a really long time.
Yeah. It's almost like I get the picture of something you put in the freezer to keep it, but you'll bring it out later or maybe not.
Yeah.
I think it comes from that idea. It's cold, not that it's it makes you shiver and you're not hot, but the idea that it's put away.
There's nothing new going on with it. So it gets filed away, it's put in a box and in storage until someone like our carpool detectives come along and try to solve it. So this book is a true crime mystery that reads like a novel. And it begins before the COVID-19 pandemic, and then it ends 2.5 years later. And it's interesting that they put this time period, or it happens during this time period, because COVID, the pandemic, is when people were stuck at home.
Right.
So they had time to take on this case, right? To try to solve an unsolved case. They needed something maybe to do a diversion so they weren't so bored at home. So all those factors together led the four moms to pursue this case. And
could I just say, Linda, what you read, this true crime mystery reads like a novel. What you were saying in the introduction earlier, that people are fascinated by it. Mm-hmm. So when you read this true book, it's like a novel. Mm-hmm. That if we say something it reads like, it's like the experience of reading an exciting invented story.
Right.
I think that's a really good phrase.
Yeah.
This reads like a novel.
Mm-hmm. It's just
but it's true.
just as exciting as a novel. Yeah, just because it's nonfiction doesn't mean it's lost or lacks any of the
details. To our listeners, Linda is smiling because she loves novels, right? She loves a good novel, so I wanted to say that to you, Linda.
Yes, I do, yeah. So this probably would be a good book for me to read if it reads like a novel. Okay, so the author of the book is Chuck Hogan, and he wrote this book based on many conversations with the four moms. And throughout this article, we'll see different ways that the author, Diane Garrett, refers to the four moms. So here in the first line of our second paragraph, she calls the moms the unlikely crime solvers, right? So I like her language because she's very descriptive all throughout the article.
Crime solvers means the four moms. Did you notice at the end of the last paragraph, it said they were buoyed by newfound purpose? So these crime solvers were buoyed, like that thing that floats in the ocean to show the distance. A buoy, strange spelling, B-U-O-Y, floats in the ocean. They were buoyed. They were lifted up, excited by purpose.
Yes.
Sometimes we say buoyed up or just buoyed.
Mm-hmm. So, yes, they were lifted up by this newly found purpose. So they had something to do and to look forward to. And they also, the author describes this case icy cold. Not just cold,
not
but
just cold.
Icy cold.
She adds icy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so very cold. Because it was already, I think, 15 years old by the time they took it on. And we also learned that they had no law enforcement training. So they're completely untrained. So you'd think, what business do they have taking on a crime? And not just any crime, a murder mystery, a murder case. Well, we learned that there were a lot of bumps along the way, right? So when you have bumps, there are difficulties, there are obstacles. It's not wasn't a smooth ride. Right.
I think we have two driving images in that sentence. You're driving and then there's a bump in the road, slows you down, and then dead ends. Mm-hmm. That's when you're driving on a street that
another traffic reference.
Ends. Yeah. Dead ends. So, and I think we're going to have some more driving, I think, later on. It talks about a rough patch. So this is driving language. Bumps and dead ends.
Yeah, so when you get to a dead end, you can't go any further. Mm-hmm. So they probably pursued leads that didn't lead anywhere, and they had to stop. So they give this contrast from dead ends that didn't go anywhere to a potential intruder. at one of their homes. That would be really scary. Yeah. So there was danger involved and risk involved in pursuing this case. So it wasn't an easy thing.
I think that's more than a bump. It's saying these are bumps, dead ends, and someone breaking into your
from
house.
One extreme
that's
to the other.
That's a pretty big bump.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So some of the bumps are bigger than others. So we're introduced to Marissa Pianco, and she is a former forensic accountant. She says that we went through phases where we felt like we hit a wall. And when you hit a wall, that's like getting to a dead end, right? You can't
go
anywhere. And it's also frustrating. When you hit a wall, you're frustrated because you can't go further.
Linda, her career is given here. She used to be a former forensic accountant. So she was an accountant in an area related to the scientific methods used to solve crimes.
Yes.
So she did have a background in, but how is that different?
Because she
also says she didn't, but she's also a forensic accountant.
Yeah, so she would probably be the closest to having some sort of, like, not training, but be the closest in being qualified, like, to pursue a case, because she was involved in forensics, but on the accounting side, so investigating financial crimes. And
yes.
There might have been a financial crime here, but they're looking at who killed these people. So forensics is the study, right, or trying to figure out, using scientific methods, how a crime was committed. And so she's sort of adjacent, like, to...
Right, she kept track of the money, I guess. Yeah, so these were definitely were moms, carpool moms, but we are going to learn they had careers.
Mm-hmm. Right. So she's the one who first learned about this stalled investigation. And this is a car reference,
right? Another car term.
Okay. So if your car stalls, it won't move, right? It's just stuck. And so this investigation was stuck. It was about the couple's death, and she actually has a journalism. Well, she took a journalism class, so maybe somewhat of a journalistic background. But she became determined to get to the bottom of this case, this cold case. And what'd she do? She invited her
friends.
Yeah.
It says acquaintances.
Yeah.
We'll learn they. So acquaintance means she knew them.
Mm-hmm.
And,
maybe
but
not
you
that
and
closely.
I, Linda, are more than we were acquaintances up
when
until
you first came.
When I came,
right.
But then you become friends.
Right.
That's part of what this article is about. Not just the crime, but how it made these women friends. So she invited three people she knew.
Yeah, acquaintances at the time, but then they become friends. Through the process of solving this case, we see that they become very close. And she's going to say, I think each of us at one time, they were... You know, they probably wondered themselves, like, should we really continue with this? Like, is this worth it? Like, especially
with those bumps.
Yeah, especially if there's a potential intruder at your house. Yeah, so they probably all had doubts at some point whether or not to continue this case. But fortunately for us, they do. So let's hear our next reading now.
Taking risks. There were lots of ups and downs, concurs Nicole Lancet Blank, a political opposition research pro seated at the very same table in Pianco's backyard where the team figured out the perpetrator of a double homicide, Samira Poulos, a puzzle-loving digital advertising project manager who stepped back from her career when she became a mom, and Jeannie Wilkinson, a former entertainment industry research exec. Both nod their heads in agreement as their fellow sleuths describe the sometimes fraught nature of their first investigation. The quartet is still a bit apprehensive about solving a case that involved organized crime and is worried that the book might expose their families to harm. To get around their concerns, some of the details about the case have been changed in The Carpool Detectives, and each of the four detectives is referred to by first name, like a character in a novel. Reading along, it can be easy to forget that the underlying case is based on real, not fictional, murders.
So, we learned that there were bumps along the way, and some were bigger bumps. Some involved risks. So this section talks about the risks that they took, and we open up with, there were lots of ups and downs. So another indication.
More language for bumps.
Yeah, of the bumpy road that this case took. So this is the second of our moms, Nicole Lancet Blank, and she concurs, she agrees that it wasn't a smooth ride. And her background is a political opposition research pro. So again, not too related to crime solving, but she has those research skills that would come in handy, right, to investigate things. So we learned that they're in Pianco's backyard talking together, and they figured out the perpetrator of a double homicide. So, in a crime, who's the perpetrator?
The one who perpetrates. Mm-hmm. The perpetrator is the one who has carried out the crime.
Right, the one who commits the crime.
Yeah, you don't want to be known as a perpetrator. No. What I mean is that's a strong word. When I hear perpetrator, it's not just for some small mistake someone did.
It's a crime.
It's for a serious crime, especially a murderer or some kind of abuse.
Right.
I like how this reporter, Diane, this writer, is saying she is sitting at the very same table talking to them now where the team met to figure out the crime. I like that image that there's a table that they sit around for this interview, but also that's where the women were meeting, in the backyard.
Yeah, it wasn't an office, you know,
I don't. We don't have backyards in my apartment building here in Taipei, but again, in this American context, when you say a backyard, it's usually the place where, big or small, you go and have a picnic or it's where you entertain your guests. It's not the place you go to solve a crime.
Right.
So that's part of the interest here. They were at a table in the backyard where you'd usually eat a hamburger or something.
Yeah, where you spend time with your family.
Yes.
But instead,
they're solving
a double homicide.
Yeah.
So homicide is a murder of
a person.
Someone. Yeah, someone kills someone else.
But a double.
Yes.
Means two
and
people.
In this case, we knew from our title, it's two people who were killed, a couple. All right, so our third mom is Samira Poulos, and she's described as a puzzle-loving digital advertising project manager. So I'm not sure how much her advertising background would help.
No, but the puzzle-loving.
Yes.
That's a long description of who she is. So for our readers, puzzle-loving is a hobby.
So she likes solving things.
Her job is a project manager, and specifically digital advertising projects.
So her puzzle-solving skills would come in handy, right? So she was a full-time mom at the time. And then our fourth mom is Jeannie Wilkinson. She was a former entertainment industry research exec. So she's from entertainment industry. But again, her research skills would come in very handy in the investigation. So they both nod their heads in agreement as their fellow sleuths describe the sometimes fraught nature of their first investigation. So this word sleuth, when you are a sleuth, you are a detective, right?
Yeah,
it's
a fun word. Now, Linda, because we love novels and we love old literature, when I hear the word sleuth, I think more of a fun, it's a more of a fun way to describe a detective. You wouldn't describe someone who's in the profession now
as a
police officer. You would say, I associate the word with Sherlock Holmes, the great fictional character. So the word sleuth is a little bit of a, I almost want to say slang. Is that the right way to think of
it? Well, it can, it's more, I think, for fun.
For fun,
yeah. Like if you are
I'm a sleuth,
like investigating something, not necessarily related to crime, like it can be for many things. Like you want to find out more about the celebrity, like where they went, what they eat. So sleuth, I think, is used more generally.
Even as a verb, by the way. Oh, he's sleuthing around. A fun English word.
Exactly. But here they are investigating a crime or mystery. So originally that's what sleuths would investigate. And so they describe their sometimes fraught nature. Well, the investigation as sometimes fraught. And fraught means full of anxiety or worry or tension. So we already know this is not a smooth investigation. So there was worry, there was anxiety, there was things to make them not want to continue the investigation. Okay. So the quartet, the group of four, right, they're they're still a bit apprehensive about solving the case, about solving a case that involved organized crime. So when you're apprehensive, you are worried, right, or
nervous.
Scared, yes, mm-hmm. nervous about something. You're not at ease.
And there's mm-hmm. a very big reason that they were apprehensive, because it involved organized crime.
Mm-hmm.
That is serious. That means this murder was related to big time.
Yeah. People who are in the business of committing
crimes. In the business of
crimes.
Crime, organized
yeah.
crime. We often talk about the mob. So mm-hmm, mm-hmm. organized crime is its own phrase,
yeah.
a category of criminals that often involves wealthy people, powerful people.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
right.
they
were
worried.
Really taking a risk, because if it involved organized crime, that could bring danger to
people
them.
People will find yeah. you. They have a lot of power to find you and hurt you.
And their families too,
mm-hmm.
yeah. And that was exactly what they were worried about, that this book might expose their families to harm. So to get around their concerns, to not bypass, but to address their concerns, this is how the phrase is used here. Some changes were made. They didn't include some details about the case to make it too revealing. And they also, the author of the book just used their first name. So there was a little bit of anonymity too. And this was done to address their concerns, to protect their families from any harm. And our last line is, reading along, it can be easy to forget that the underlying case is based on real, not fictional murders. So that goes back to our first line of the article. This true crime mystery reads like a novel. Like, you'll think, you'll have to remind yourself, this is actually
yes.
a true crime.
There's
this actually happened, right? Because it's so exciting. But you will have to come back tomorrow as we continue this exciting story in this case. We want to find out who did it or who done it. So please tune in to tomorrow's program. For now, I'm Linda.
I'm Rhonda.
Saying goodbye.